what your local wetland has done for you lately? Wetlands function like nature's kidneys, mitigating the impacts of floods and droughts, protecting our communities, and supporting food production. Despite representing 6% of the Earth's surface, wetlands store 33% of the planet's carbon. If you value life, thank a wetland. Learn about wetlands at work with Ducks Unlimited Canada at ducks.ca/wetlands.
Thank you, Ducks Unlimited. I always love to hear from the Unlimited Ducks, and I'm so proud of them. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. It's Katie's open mic with Bianca.
Hello.
We're talking about politics on the internet. You can check out her opinions and such on Left Ain't Ditched on Instagram.
Yes.
And to start some arguments in her comments. And just, yeah. But so we just went over just what it's been like for her talking about politics on the internet. But now we're going to go into more Bianca's life and her political awakening, because I feel like not everyone is as like invested as you are.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was wondering like when and how it started for you.
So what spurred me to make this? I'll start with what spurred me to make this account. It was kind of just a meme at first, but what kind of really got me into this whole awakening era is I had to write a paper in one of my political philosophy, in my only political philosophy class, about Karl Marx and his view on morality. And that's a whole can of worms that we can get into another time, but basically I read a bunch of his works as references for the paper. And I was reading it, and I was like, wow, he's really spitting bars here. So I just started reading, like, I read the Communist Manifesto, I read Capital, I read, like, everything that he wrote, like, in his earlier years. And I was just like, this makes sense. He's literally clocking it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading other people just like him. Like, I've read, you know, The Critique of Soviet Economics by Mao Zedong. I've listened to, like, podcasts about, like, Che Guevara's works. And it's just like, these people are so correct. How do I mobilize the people in order to make them all realize this as well?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my awakening here. And, like, even when I wrote that paper, it was, like, maybe November of last year, like, 2025. So it's only been, like, a couple months, but I feel like, yeah, that was kind of where it officially began.
Yeah. And then now that you're kind of, like, you've taken it into your own life, I was wondering about who you look up to when it comes to, like, political commentary or, like, social action. And it could be, like, people from the past, like Karl Marx, or, like, people currently, like, on the internet or just that you've seen.
Okay, I think that I'll answer this question, but the issue that I have with this question is that it's like we can never look up to people inherently, because I feel like that leads us to kind of blindly follow them if we don't know where to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, I follow a lot of activists on my account that I really like. For example, like Django from I think she's from New York, I think. She's a great activist. I was really surprised when she followed me. She followed me. Like, it was so crazy. And she actively comments under my stuff. And it's great. She has, like, what, 60,000 followers? And she still makes time for me? Hello? But it's, like, I really appreciate her because she believes in mobilizing the masses, like, independent of ideology and more of just because of the sheer number of people that we'll have to start the revolution that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just puts aside identity politics here, and it kind of focuses on how we're getting what we need out of the number of people that we have.
Yeah, like, yeah. It doesn't matter their personal reasons why they're involved. Yeah. It just matters that we're making this action.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I also really like Lady Izdahar. She's from Seattle. She also follows me. That's crazy. She's, like, really popular, too. And I really like her because she's Muslim and she's also a communist, and she faces a lot of backlash for that because she's Muslim and a communist at the same time. But she debates these people so well. It's just, like, it's very hard to not feel inspired by her because she takes her religion and she applies it to her political ideology in a way that is unique, but it also provides a lot of context as well. for towards who she is as a person, and she obviously inspires other people of other religions as well.
Wait, are there any, like, examples you have of, like, the ways that she connects her religion to her ideology?
No, because all her videos are, like, really long, and I just haven't had time to get into it, but...
Okay, yeah, but we have to check it out.
Yeah. But, yeah, she posts a lot about that stuff, and she's just very passionate about it, and I'm really... Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. And then I was wondering, like, just back locally to SFU, and I was wondering how you think that our profs here in our classes, like, handle, like, political discussion and education, just, like, from the student perspective.
So, the class that I wrote this paper in, he specifically put socialism into the curriculum. Of the syllabus of this class, whereas I've heard in the past that this exact same class did not have the socialism kind of segment in the past, which kind of surprised me, but I'm not really surprised at the end of the day, because, you know. But I felt like the way that my prof brought it up and the way that he talked about it was very knowledgeable. It was very... informing. Like, there was a lot to learn from it, and I think that he was one of the profs that really handled that conversation very well. And also, in one of the classes that I'm taking this semester, we talked about all the different types of political regimes, or, like, ideological regimes, so, like, capitalism, authoritarianism, socialism, blah blah blah, blah. And we had quite a bit of a discussion about socialism, which I was very surprised to see, because I feel like a lot of the classes that we're in, political, economics-wise, even just like school-wide, it's all taught from a capitalist perspective, right? And like, and it's like the norm, it's the quote-unquote norm for us to be taught these things from a capitalist perspective. So the fact that he took the time to maybe spend like 20, 30 minutes just talking about socialism was a breath of fresh air for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people asking questions like, hey, what about democracy? Because, you know, how, like, socialism and stuff like that is kind of associated with authoritarianism. The people were like, oh, what about democracy, X, Y, Z? And then he just provided such great answers, such as, like, authoritarianism is good for developing countries and stuff like that, such as maybe, like, China, because look at them now. I mean, and we had a very lengthy discussion about that as well. And it was so refreshing, because so many people just either disregard it or are just completely misinformed about it. And the fact that my teacher knew, it made me feel so happy. Like, so happy. Yeah.
That's incredible to hear. Yeah. I know, I've really enjoyed SFU. Like, pretty much every class we talk about Karl Marx in some perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just there. And then, finally, just discussing your political awakening, I was wondering what advice you would give to listeners who would want to start their journey.
You have to not let opinions... get to you. Like, I'm already the type of person where words just don't really mean anything to me. It's just like who I am. Like, nice words, bad words, they don't really mean much to me. So it was very easy for me to drown them out or even just find them funny, like the hate comments that I receive. But you have to have a certain amount of thick skin in order to do this kind of stuff. Because it gets to you very quickly if you really care about what each individual person says about you. And you don't have to feel like you are always in the right, and you don't have to feel like you have to be on top of everything that's going on in the political world at the moment. Because that's A, that's just not feasible, and B, it's just, you're a human. You're not expected to do stuff like that. And it's just like, you're also a human too. You will also fall for propaganda. You will also... be misinformed sometimes, and that's just part of who we are. So you should never feel bad just because that's what you're interested in, that's what you're passionate about. You should never feel bad for it. It's how you steer yourself away from that kind of stuff, and how you admit that you're wrong, and how you go about your works after you realize you're wrong. That's what really makes you who you are, and that's what really matters.
That's really beautiful. Thank you for that insight. Yeah, I think that's really important that more people talk about it, because so many people talk about it that have no idea what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just add yourself to this.
Yeah, and it came from me doing it. It came from a sense of, like, there's so many people out there who are misinformed. I might as well spread what I know and maybe help them out.
Yeah, because there's this like idea of free speech that like if enough people talk, then like eventually we'll figure out the truth.
Oh yeah.
And there's a lot of critiques on that, like because like so many people don't talk out of like fear of, you mm-hmm. know, like what you've experienced, like mm-hmm. the hatred and stuff.
Yeah. But so, honestly, yeah. I'm just like so over that. Like yeah. honestly, facing the hate, I would like using hatred as a way to like suppress people's thoughts. That in itself is a way of suppression of free speech to me.
100%.
Yeah, so it's just like we have our free speech, we should use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for that inspiration. We're going to go back and listen to some more music, but first I want to shout out another show on CJSF 90.1 FM. Later tonight, we have the Arts Magazine at 8 p.m. where you can figure out all the awesome things happening in town and what you want to do this weekend, all the music, all the shows, all the good stuff. So definitely check that out later tonight. Stay on the station, as always. And next, we're going to listen to Omni Shambles by Bar Italia.
Chasing time under a sky that doesn't change. Each cloud is a cloud, each cloud is a cloud, each cloud. Many exchanges with strangers, but you pointed out most of the other night.
It seems like you don't care, just a minute in your head. I've been caught in your snare before, too much talk, had to call the end.
That was Omni Shambles by Bar Italia, and you were listening to CJSF 90.1 FM with Katie's Open Mic with Bianca.
Hello.
In the guest seat. And yeah, we've just been talking about the internet, talking politics, talking life, and just, I guess, to like kind of steer towards the end of this show, I thought it'd be nice to have a bit of like a hopeful conclusion. I kind of thought this would be like a depressing show because we're talking about hate and stuff, but I actually feel very uplifted anyways. But
mm-hmm.
we can kind of get into more uplifting stuff. And well, yeah, like the first question is just, have you found that since starting your politics account, like anything has come up that's like given you hope and like the way people respond to it and like just the community that you see there?
The fact that there's people out there who think just like me is in itself already all that I needed. Because before I made this account, I was actually feeling very low because I was so worried that there would be nobody out there who thinks like me, who acts like me, who has the same political ideologies as me, because, you know, that's just not the norm, especially in, well, in Burnaby, BC. It's kind of hard to find people like that. But the minute I stepped online, I was met with, like, hate, yeah. But I was also met with, like, thousands of, like, uplifting comments, very positive comments telling me like, keep going, you're doing good, I love the way you talk, stuff like that. And it's just like, it made me feel so it just gave me so much hope. And also the fact that there's this thing called revolutionary optimism, and it's just like, regardless of our current material conditions, regardless of everything going on in the world, we should always maintain optimism that the revolution will come, because we need it, and it's going to come, and we should never lose our hope in the fact that it will happen.
Yeah. And I think like optimism in itself is like the first step towards revolution.
Yeah, literally. Because it's like, it's not accepting defeat that our conditions are so bad, but it's the fact that we can realize that there's more to life that we deserve than our current lives right now. So it's just like the fact that we can strive to have better lives that makes the movement so empowering to everyone.
Yeah. So yeah. Is it possible that like the way that you live your life individually can be like a revolution in itself?
Interesting. Yeah, I definitely think so. Like the ways in which we live our lives, I think it's this, the ways that we think will always be revolutionary to some degree, because people think out of the box, people have different thoughts than other people. And I feel like the minute that you take yourself out of the orthodox thought bubble, the orthodox ways that you feel about things in the world, and you start thinking about it from a different quote-unquote quirkier lens, mm-hmm. I think that's revolution in itself, because once you separate yourself from thinking like a quote-unquote normal person, it's just like, it's much more revolutionary to yourself, because you end up learning new things about yourself that you would have never expected to before.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I was wondering if you've seen like any positive trends occurring about like how people think about their place in the world.
Back to the revolutionary optimism thing, I think that could answer that question quite well, because I do think that this is the trend that has definitely gained popularity, because I think that people have just started to realize that this is what we need to work towards, and we need to make it a trend, we need to make it known, so that people around the world will hopefully join us.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. And then maybe just to get to something a little topical, we have the ICE protest today. Where is it? West Cordova
Street? Yeah, it's not actually just... I heard that he backed down, though. But anyways, it's not just about ICE. It's about this guy, BC-grown billionaire named Jim Pattison. He was going to rent out a really big warehouse in Virginia to train ICE faculty. But there was protests like maybe yesterday as well, I think. And he backed down. At least I hope so. But I saw a news article on City News. I think City News is Vancouver-based. I saw that this morning. And he said that he backed down of doing that. So I'm very happy about that, if he'll actually uphold his word. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of all we have to talk about. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we leave?
No, I'm just very happy that I was able to be here today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being here. We're going to listen to a couple tunes, but we're going to start with Luna by Bloom Effect. This is a very lovely song, and I hope you enjoy. This has been CJSF 90.1 FM, Katie's Open Mic with Bianca.
Bye!
And yeah, see you next week. bonus show. we have a postscript for this show. One of them is that Department Uno is up next, and I forgot to give that a shout out, but Connor is epic and has epic music taste, so definitely listen in. But yeah, in between the songs, we're just talking about non-monogamy and how, like, we're seeing that with everyone right now. That's, like, the prevalent dating practice.
Well, I wouldn't really say it's prevalent. I would just say that it's definitely popping up more and more, especially in people that are kind of close to me, I feel like, because obviously monogamy is the norm. It's been the norm for, like, thousands of years since we developed as humans. But I feel like, especially maybe it's just because we're so young and stuff, like you were saying earlier, we should feel the, like, ability to just explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, you're kind of right, because when I first started telling my friends that, like, they were, like, really excited about this guy I met, that it was going to be, like, perfect and stuff, and they were like, oh, like, this is awesome. And then, like, I told them that we're doing, like, non-exclusive, and they were all, like, mad. Like, they were mad
they
at...
They were mad?
They were mad at him. They were like, oh, like, they were calling him a dog. And I was like, no. And they were, like, saying, they were like, this isn't what you want, Katie. I was like, what? It's really weird.
Because I feel like definitely non-exclusivity is not for everyone. And yeah. It's definitely a very niche group of people who are actually okay with that, because they themselves have to be okay with the fact that you might not be the only person that this person is seeing.
Yeah, and to me, that's, like, a relief. I'm like, wow, like, I don't have to be, like, taking care of all of your needs. Like, I can disappear for a bit, and you'll be okay.
Okay.
You know?
I'm not sure I see it like that. I mean, obviously, I'm very happy to be in a relationship. And it's just, like, the feeling that there could be, like, more things to that, just, it doesn't, like, excite me, like, insanely, but it definitely excites me more than, like, a monogamous person would feel about it. So that's kind of, like, where I'm coming from when I say that I am non-monogamous.
But you also experience it as someone who is in a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And can't really explore that at the moment.
And I mean, I'm fine with that, because obviously I'm happy in the relationship that I'm in enough to know that I would be content not exploring this part of my other side, because, you know, I'm just happy with the way that I am right now. But it's just an extra thought.
Just an extra thought. So thank you. That was our extra segment, bonus radio show. And yeah, don't forget to stay tuned for Connor. And right now, I'm just going to leave you with Crow by Caged Animals. Once again, see you next week.
If I had a tattoo, 1,000 needles. grow.